In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Not too long ago on Facebook, yes, that is our source of information these days, is Facebook. Someone posted a meme. For those of you who don't know what that is, it's the little picture with a cute little saying. And it said, "I don't need theology, I just need Jesus." Now, I can understand the sentiment behind something like that. We want to have a kind of a direct contact, to think about Christ in that way, and in a very kind of simple, put Jesus within us and to think about his place in our lives and on our families' lives. I understand that. But to say I don't need theology kind of is oversimplifying the follow-up question to someone who says, I just need Jesus. When you ask him, well, who is this Jesus? What can you tell me about him? Is he God? Is he human? Did he save us? How did he save us? Because as soon as you get into any of those questions, you're doing theology. In the gospel, the Lord says the great commandment is, I shall love the Lord God with all my mind, my heart, and my strength. And theology is our way of loving God with our minds. We have to think about who God is, who Christ is, and answer those fundamental questions of, is he God? Is he human? Is he, you know, how is he our Savior? How did he save us? How are we participating in the body and blood and the Holy Communion? All those questions that all of us probably wonder about. And as soon as you're wondering about them and trying to come up with answers for them, you're doing theology. Now, we think of theology sometimes as something that's written down. We find it in a book. We read it. And that's certainly the case in our Orthodox tradition. We've got libraries filled with books. We also have hymnology that teaches us our theology. Today's hymns are telling us something about Christ and our relationship to God. And so paying attention to those hymns is important. But today is a unique day. I've learned today is also a unique day for you as well as parish. I love what you've done with the place, as they say. I heard it was a little messier last week. A little scaffolding back over your heads just a few days ago even. We as Orthodox do theology in color. We make icons. We paint them in our churches. We embroider them. We carve them. We put them in mosaics, as you have in the apps. And they, too, are theology. And so today we are celebrating the fathers of the church from the Seventh Ecumenical Council of 787 AD, who decided that it's fine to do theology in color. Today's epistle had a great, from the Paul writing to Titus, was probably, should have been good advice to those fathers back then, if they maybe have noticed it, because he said, avoid foolish controversies, avoid genealogies, just avoid kind of fighting over issues. We didn't do that with icons. For 100+ years, Christianity, and back then it would just be one Christianity, it wasn't just us as Orthodox, argued back and forth about the role that this art should have in our churches. First we took them out, and then in 787 we put them back in, and then a few decades later in 814 we took them out again, and then of course in 843 at the first Sunday of Lent on the Sunday of Orthodoxy, we restored them once and for all. And we restored them once and for all. And this became part of who we are as Orthodox, part of our identity as a church. At my talks in Abilene, Churches of Christ, this was a kind of a unique world for them, coming out of the Restoration Movement, that they were born in, of the 1820s and 30s. But what kind of theology can we be doing in these pictures? I almost brought out my cell phone and was going to start taking photographs of all of you, but I think all of you know what that is. Theology in pictures, theology in color, reminds us of the people around us. And when we look at these icons, the first thing we are meant to do is remember all of these people and remember that they were real people. This isn't a fantasy story. This wasn't made up. These are the selfies. These are the group photographs. These are the people getting together to take a photograph, as we would today, of important events in the life of Christ, the life of saints, the life of the Virgin Mary, the life of our church. And so the first thing we're meant to do is, when we're looking at those things, oh, those pictures, these icons, is say, what story is this telling me? How can I understand this story? What do I know about the person that I'm looking at? And it's quite interesting when you look at the icons of saints in particular, they're not all the same. We try to capture something of who these people were. And traditions have come down to us that help us understand St. Peter had gray curly hair, St. Paul had a black beard and not a whole lot up here like I do. And those traditions have held together for centuries to remind us that these saints and these events are real people. First, when you're looking around at all your wonderful new icons, especially over your heads, think about the real people that encountered Christ. Think about the real people that he touched in a healing or in a blessing. But they also do a little bit more than that, than just group photographs or portraits to remind us of our past. They're teaching us what we believe. And as an example, I hope you'll study the baptism of Christ icon and the transfiguration of Christ icon that are over your heads that I'm told are new here. The baptism of Christ icon, we know, is a revelation and teaches us the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. It's not just the baptism, a story from Scripture, but the way we've interpreted that story is a revelation of the Trinity. Christ in the water, Jesus, God himself, being baptized by John the Baptist, with a dove coming down over his head, the Spirit, and the little tiny circle at the very top of that icon. Those of you on this side really have to crane your necks to see it. You guys do a better job. The little tiny circle, to see it, is the voice of the Father. God himself speaking to those who are witnessing the baptism of Christ. This is my Son. And we see the Holy Trinity. Now, for those of you on this side, you can get a good look at the transfiguration of Christ and realize that this icon is a different kind of depiction of the Trinity. We see Christ radiating the light of his divinity. We see who he really is, God and man. But that divinity, the power of God, is just bursting forth from him, whiter than the whitest white you can imagine. That's the round circle around him, all those rays coming out of him. But when you go into the story, you find his Father spoke then too. This is my Son. Listen to him. And so in some ways, it's also a revelation of Trinity for us. So they tell us who we are. They tell us what we believe as Orthodox Christians about God. They tell us, third, how we are to behave. They're giving us guidelines. They're giving us an opportunity to interact with God. One of the great questions I was asked by the folks at Abilene was, well, when you're looking at these icons, Father Vrame, how are you reacting to them? And I said, I'm thinking about how I'm in contact, how I can open that window into the heavens. But I can also remember that that divine window that opens in prayer, is also looking at me and holding up a mirror for me to think about my life. It's asking me to consider if I'm paying attention and thinking about it and doing theology in my head, how am I responding to the presence of Christ in my life? Am I obeying his teachings? Am I following his commandments to love my neighbor no matter who they are? Am I following his advice about prayer? Am I following his teachings just to follow him with my mind, my heart, and my strength? So as you study your new icons, think of the fathers of the church that opened up this world for us 1,200 or so years ago. Think of what they've done to allow you to interact with theology in color so that you can use your mind, your strength, and your heart to praise God in all that you do. And we ask this in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.